This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire, I go by Clizair on the internet, and this is the podcast where people tell me their stories. And this week I have with me Sam. Hello, Sam.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I wish I was with you in Ireland right now.
Would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. So I'd say that there are five things that guide and direct me in life, and that's servant leadership, story sharing, activator igniter, champion enabler, and community do-gooder. And those five things have really guided and directed me in many fulfilling areas. And the one that I think that, you know, you would like to most hear about is that story sharing piece. And the reason I call it story sharing and not storytelling is storytelling is one directional. I'll tell a story. Story sharing is sharing a story, but then also having the other person share their stories as well and having a meaningful conversation.
And before we get into your story, would you like to tell people where to find you on the internet, to follow you, connect with you, all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm on all of the social media channels of Instagram and Twitter. I've got my own website, so it's sam-thiara, thiara.com. And that's where people can read the blog posts, where my book is published, and, you know, speaking opportunities. And I'm also on LinkedIn, and people can find me there as well.
Yeah, so do you want to get into your story?
Of course. So growing up, I was, to think of it this way, I am a British-born Canadian with parents from Fiji Islands, which is near Australia, and grandfathers who come from India. Who am I? Oftentimes people would, you know, if you physically look at my appearance, I look Indian. So people would naturally come up and say, oh, what part of India are you from? And I'll be, well, actually, I was born in England and raised in Canada. And they're like, no, your parents, what part of India are they from? Well, my parents come from Fiji Islands, which is near Australia. And they're like, wait, are you Indian? Well, my grandfathers come from India. And then the other side of it is people would be like, well, you're not Indian, you're Canadian. So I think a lot of people struggled with this identity piece. And I find that, you know, it's also a situation where people would be like, no, really, where are you from? And even though you've described everything, we were so distantly and far removed from our ancestral roots in India. I decided that I needed to gain and learn more about my cultural, ethnic background, because it seemed like my life was in segments, but the one that really seemed to be missing was my Indian cultural identity. Nobody really knew where this village of ours was, where our grandfather left and the ancestral roots. And I decided to embark upon a journey to locate and find this house, my grandfather's house in India. It was interesting because when I made that statement, I'm going to go to India, I want to find this house, there was a lot of challenges. There were people that, a lot of noise that said, you're not going to be able to find it. Why are you even looking? Do you realize if you find it, you may not even have a good experience? Or they may be wondering, why are you even here? But I needed to find my grandfather's house for two reasons. Number one, the thread of my ancestral roots is literally about to break. If something happens to me, because nobody in my family would embark on this journey, if this thread ever broke to my ancestral roots, it's gone forever. Nobody in future generations will ever know where we came from. All I had was a faded photograph and very little information. That's what the thin thread was. Equally, and I write about this in my book, my father, when I was 9 years old, became a paraplegic. He had an industrial accident. And as a result of that industrial accident, he has never been to India, but he's done a lot for us. I felt like I really wanted to do something for him, to find his father's house, my grandfather's house. So I decided to go on this journey. And again, as ridiculous and as crazy as it was, because I had never been to India, I thought this was a great opportunity to go to a part of the world that I needed to explore. I got to England, or sorry, to India. I was a foreigner going to a land that shouldn't be foreign to me in search of a needle in a haystack and not knowing where this haystack was. We had some information, the name of the village, the town that it's about 6 miles away from, and the district that it should be in. But the noise kept saying, we know the town, but we've never heard of this village. I think the name is wrong, or maybe the name has changed. Well, what drove me to India was this ancestral roots, but also made me realize I want to be a traveler. I want to experience the places I travel. I don't just want to see things, I want to experience. So we landed in India, and nothing will ever prepare you for India. I just still remember when we got to the airport, that part of everything, it's like no other, I mean, it's just like any other airport that I've been in. You go through customs and immigration and whatnot, but just when you exit out into the world, these sliding doors just opened up, and I stood on the doorway frozen for a few seconds because there literally was 1,000 people there. It was noisy and people were holding signs. They wanted you to go with them. And I was just like, oh my gosh, where have I walked into? The only thing separating people from us were these barriers, but people were to the left of us, people to the right of us. I felt like Moses crossing the Red Sea because everybody was there, but we were parted by this fence. That was my first introduction to India and this understanding of what am I really doing here? Finally, we did find a gentleman holding a sign with my name on it. The name wasn't spelled correctly, but I was like, I don't care. I'm going with this guy. And turned out it was our driver. And, you know, that was our introduction to India. We got to the hotel and we did the things of, you know, the next day seeing the sights and the sounds. And what I write about in the book, and I call it Lost and Found, Seeking the Past and Finding Myself, is going to the sites. But it wasn't just, okay, here you go, and you just see this place. No, I wanted to run my hands along the wall and feel the sandstone. I wanted to feel the cool steps of the marble underneath my feet. And it was interesting because it was the magnificence that I saw, but I also needed to see the poverty. I needed to see the injustice because that is part of India. And what I experienced was an amazing resilience in the people. I went along and with my wife and we experienced India, but the journey was important for self and for the ancestral piece. For the self, I remember laying in bed over about a week and a half into this journey, trying to process. And all of a sudden it hit me that from an identity standpoint, I was doing it all wrong. I was segmenting my life as Canadian, British, Indian, and Fijian. In Indian cooking, there's a thali, which is a platter with segmented dishes. So here's the segmented dishes of, you know, being British, Canadian, Fijian, Indian. And for 11 years, I played in an Irish military pipe band. So there's a bit of Irish chutney on the side as well. But equally at the same time, I realized in the morning, you know what? I'm doing this all wrong. Instead, I'm a rice dish, which we call khichdi. Khichdi is a blend of flavors. You go to your fridge and you open up the fridge and you put you have the rice and you grab all the vegetables and the spices and you mix it all together and it's this beautiful comfort food. It'd be the equivalent of bubble and squeak or the equivalent of an omelet. That's what my realization was about my own identity, is rather than segmenting my life with whoever I'm running with or in that segment, I can embrace them all at the same time and they are all my components. And it made other people realize when I share that part that they're khichdi too. We are all khichdi. We're a blend of cultures and flavors and we should embrace them all and not be segmented. That realization was one part. And the other was about the search for this ancestral roots. So having this photograph, this faded photograph in my hand, we knew the odds were against us. but we still went forward. We knew the name of the village, the town that it was near, and the district. And I remember someone telling me a day before I left, you've got the name of the village wrong. So the name of the village I had was Chidodi, but he said the name of the village is Janodi. So, okay, fine. I mean, through however, maybe years of translation and whatnot, I wound up going and we found Janodi on a map. And we thought, okay, this is the place because it's 6 miles away from the town, which is what my parents and ancestors or the people around me were saying. And I was excited about the chance that here we were on a search. Well, we got to this place and, you know, there were people sitting in a courtyard. They met us, they gave us tea, we had a conversation. They looked at the photograph and they said, oh, well, this looks like so-and-so's house. Two people got in our vehicle, we drove to a house. Next thing you know, people are coming out of the house, there's about 10 people, they look at the photograph and they're like, no, this isn't the right place. But the person in the photograph looks like so-and-so, and we wound up going to another place and another. And it was just a setback after setback after setback. And initially when you got to Janodi, you were excited and thrilled that, oh my gosh, is this it? Is this where my grandfather left from? And at the end of it all, after 5 different interactions, we realized Janodi was the wrong village. And my hopes were dashed. We got back to the hotel and I phoned my father and I said, you know, he said, how's things? I said, it's good, but I didn't find the village. And he said, you know what? Don't worry about it. Enjoy India. And it was interesting because I looked at it going like, I'm not going to give up that easy. So the next morning, my driver came. He said, what would you like to do? My wife thought we were going shopping and she was thrilled until I said, no, you know what? We're going to get to Garshankar, which is the town. I want to just ask people if they've heard of Chidodi. And sure enough, we got to Garshankar. There were people there and no, we'd never heard of the village. And you know, all of your hopes are starting to diminish. Well, finally, with the window open, a gentleman, I could hear him say, oh, Chidodi, in our language, say, Chidodi, oh, it's up the road this way, 5-6 miles. And I'm like, wait, did I just hear that correctly, Chidodi? And next thing you know, okay, we're on another drive to a village. I remember getting to this archway and this old man just sitting there staring at the ground. And so we stopped there and our driver asked, is this Chidodi? He said, yeah, this is Chidodi. And he just sort of sat there looking at the ground. We gave him the picture. He looked at it and he's like 80 years old and he looks like he fell off a charm bracelet. No glasses, no nothing. And he just sat there and he goes, I think I know where this house is. And at this point in my time on this journey was like, okay, here we go again. So he gets in our vehicle. We drive up to a house. And he walks up to the house, people come out, and I'm like, yep, here we go again. People look at this picture, that's it. Well, next thing you know, there's this number of people that came out. And what was interesting is when we took the picture, and it's a faded picture, a lady looked at herself and said, that's me in the picture, who are you guys? And it was just one of those moments of like, wait, are you... this is you? And she goes, yeah, this is me. Who are you guys? It turned out that my grandfather had an older brother. These were the wife of the siblings of my grandfather's older brother.
Gotcha, yep.
Direct family. And all of a sudden, when I explained who I was and how my grandfather left India, they knew who we were, but nobody had ever shared who we were, like how we had grown up or where we had gone or anything. We hugged and we sat and we shared stories. And then her son came by, who was my cousin, and we wound up touring the village and learning more about, my grandfather's older brother and his two sisters. And it was just one of those euphoric moments of I'm home. And it felt like I was home. And, you know, just this whole area. Now, I was persistent in my journey. I went to India with Ziploc bags because I wanted to find my grandfather's house. I found it. I went out into the fields. I scooped up dirt and I brought the dirt home to my father. So he has a connection back to his father's house. And we talked, we shared, and it was also, I needed to know, why did my grandfather leave India? And it's, they said, well, it may have been that he had an argument or a dispute with his parents, and as a result of it, wound up leaving the village. And I was thinking to myself, you know, back in 1905, you know, going to the other village was a trek, or you just stayed in your roots. He made his way to Calcutta with his best friend. I think they had a secret plan of just leaving to explore the world. And he was on his way to Argentina to go cattle ranching. Well, the boat stopped in Fiji. And we're trying to figure out why Fiji. And part of it was maybe where he came from is landlocked, and he was just tired of traveling by boat and got off the ship. Maybe he thought that when the boat docked in Fiji, that this is the paradise it is meant to be, and maybe this is a beautiful place, and forget about Argentina, I'll settle here. Maybe he thought it was Argentina, got off the ship left, and he's like, wait, this isn't Argentina? Come back. But then that's how, you know, you learn these stories. Wrapping it up, I think what I would like to share is a lot of people are unsure of their ancestral roots, their cultural makeup. And I think that what we need to do is really embrace that we are a blend of flavors, that we're a blend of cultures. We can be so many different things. I've had people reach out and said, you know, it's amazing that you were able to find that needle in a haystack in this country of 1.6 billion people. But I could never do that because we don't know exactly where this my ancestors are. So people would tell me that. For example, I had one person telling me that, you know, their ancestral roots are from Sicily, and, you know, we don't know anything about it. And I said, well, you know, what if you went to Sicily and you're walking the streets? Does something resonate with you and make you feel like you're home? And, you know, you don't have to find the house, the village, the town, but just the fact that you're in a place where your ancestral roots are. Does that provide you some level of comfort? You're home. So Lost and Found, Seeking the Past, Finding Myself is a book I wrote for myself, but it's also for other people as well. It's a beautiful story of overcoming obstacles, not listening to the noise, and persistence. But it's also about finding oneself and appreciating who one is. That's the story.
Wow. I can't believe you found them. That is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And have you kept in touch with them?
We did keep in touch, but then through time, letters, you know, don't make it or whatever. But I was able to, my step cousin went to visit India and asked for the information. And that was maybe just prior to COVID. So she actually went to the village. So, yep, we're still connected and whatnot. I think on the one hand, it was about this journey and the pinnacle peak of finding the village. And we do try to keep in touch, but at the same time, any correspondence with India can be a challenge. But if I ever go back to India again, then for sure I'll make my way back to the village.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you like to remind everyone where to find you on the internet, where to buy your book, etc.? Sure.
Yeah. So again, the book is called Lost and Found, Seeking the Past and Finding Myself. And you're more than welcome to find me on my website at www.sam-thiara, so thiara.com, and my book is there. Or you can visit Amazon or any of the major bookstores. Equally at the same time, I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter.
I will have all of your links down below in the description on YouTube and in the show notes on the audio platforms. Thank you so much for coming on to share your story.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you so much for watching. If you're watching on YouTube or listening, if you're listening on the audio platforms, if you are watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. If you're listening on the audio platforms, please give the podcast a review because it really helps us out in the old charts. Thank you so much, Sam, and I'll see you in the next one.
All the best.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.